Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Mike Milks. Before I bring him on, I want to remind you that we are sitting on another YouTube strike, so I cannot upload there until next week. You can get all new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and of course, all podcast platforms. Definitely check us out on Rockfin, where you get all of our premium content. You can also get all our regular shows and all the premium content from all of the content creators on Rockfin. And we also have our merch store up. T-shirts, stickers, bags, all kinds of cool stuff. That link is in the description or fknstore.net. And finally, check out C60 Purple Power. C60 may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man. It's made from the purest substances on the planet, and it has completely turned around my health. It's helped our senior dog as well. It's even shrunk her tumors. Just click the link in the description, and you can get 10% off your order, plus free shipping. Tonight, I want to welcome back to the show Mike Milks. He is the creator of Morning Dew on YouTube. He is a stargazing Earth Watcher who has an overall love for humanity and a particular understanding of weather and cosmology. Mike, welcome back. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. It's great to have you back on.
You know, yeah, it's been a while.
Yes, it has. It's been almost like a year. You do an amazing job covering Earth changes and how our planet is being affected by the changes and from our space weather and the weakening magnetic field. I know there's been a lot of crazy stuff that's happened, especially with awakening earthquakes and volcanoes. And it's like I said, it's been almost a year since we've spoken. I know there's a lot going on. First, how have you been? How's everything been for you?
Well, life has been good, considering. You know, it's survivable right now. It's nice to see people out and about right now. Our city is slowly lifting restrictions. So, I mean, that is amazing in itself. It's nice to get outside and enjoy the fresh air. And I bike a lot. I stay very active, so I'm always out every day, you know, sharing my information with people on the streets, lots of friends downtown that I blow their minds with some of this stuff because, you know, 90% of the people don't have any inclination actually to what's going on in our planet, nor care, which is sad.
That is sad. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's good that, you know, we can maybe start getting back to normal. Things are starting to open up here too. So it's kind of promising to see that we might be able to start living our lives like normal. Now, I don't know how long that's going to last. I don't know if there's going to be any other upcoming agendas, but we'll just have to wait and see and kind of stay positive about it. But when it comes to the changes in our Earth and space weather and everything surrounding it, what are some of the most profound changes that are happening right now and have been happening since we last spoke?
Well, I think the most profound is the volcanic activity across the planet. I'm sure probably 3/4 of the population on the world has heard about the Iceland volcano. You know, that was a pretty big event. Also, the Sufrir volcano that erupted a couple months ago. We've had some very large and numerous eruptions across the planet. Normally, we have an active 25 to 30 volcanoes a day. And during my 5 years or 4 to almost 5 years broadcasting on YouTube, I've always been talking about, you know, maybe up to 35. And I was like, oh, wow, we have 35 volcanoes. Like, whoa, you know, that's most I've recorded. But now back in March, I reported 52 volcanoes erupting across the planet. 52. And there's a couple videos that kind of blew up overnight too. And what I was showing was the SO2 models of the carbon emissions, the sulfur emissions, the everything that is coming out of our Earth and literally almost encompassed our planet. Right? So during that time, the volcanic activity, not only that, the increased global moisture due to more cloud cover. And that's something I've been talking about back when I started my channel. When we have a collapsed magnetosphere, we've got colder temperatures from above that are being squeezed towards the surface of the Earth. I was observing today noctilucent clouds here in Alberta. It's supposed to be 4 degrees or something like that, 4 degrees Celsius tomorrow. That's unheard of. It's almost the middle of June. What's wrong with our planet?
Exactly. What is wrong with our planet? I used to cover the Earth changes when I first started out on YouTube a long time ago. It was one of the topics that really got me, you know, into doing what I'm doing now, because I noticed that things were changing rapidly. And this was, 4 or 5 years ago when I started doing that. Things apparently are, you know, keep shifting and then getting worse.
Especially with the
movement of the magnetic north, which I remember covering towards, you know, the last few videos I was making when I was covering the Earth changes.
Yes.
It's got to be getting a lot worse. And you mentioned the weather patterns. Man, I was noticing some crazy weather whenever I was reporting it across the planet. Different locations getting hammered with storms that had never seen the types of storms that they're seeing before. Locations seeing tornadoes that have never even seen a tornado before. Snowing in the Middle East. All these crazy weather patterns that the planet's never really seen before. So what do you think is the cause of this? What's the root factor? Is it, it's got to be something from our solar system. I would think probably the sun, right?
Yeah, I do believe that it has a lot to do with our solar cycle. Not only that, it's got a lot to do with what we're doing on our planet and what's happening to our planet. I mean, naturally, we're shifting, we're wobbling. And naturally, our sun goes through cycles every 11 years, a minimum and then a maximum. But every so often, it goes into a grand solar minimum. And I don't know for fact, and I don't think anybody really knows for fact, but maybe the grand solar minimum effect actually induces a magnetic reversal on our planet, which not many people even know what that's about. So a magnetic reversal is pretty much exactly what it sounds like. Your magnet, your north becomes south, and south becomes north. And every object in our universe does it eventually. Unless it's completely spherical, but most times it's not because it just can't happen. But it's eventually it flips. Our planet is actually shaped like a heart. It's not a full circle. It's not a globe like they see. You know, it's not perfect. It's not a perfect circle. We know this, but it's got that wobble because of its shape and because of its changes. We have to expect our wobble to change. And when the sun changes drastically, we have to expect everything else in our planet, our solar system, to change as well.
Now, and you mentioned the weakening.
We've documented.
Go ahead.
We've documented changes on almost every planet in the solar system, dramatic changes. You know, there are a lot of other channels that are covering that sort of thing. But, you know, something I was reading here, this is a meteorology textbook from like 1975, you know, and do you think back in 1975, they were really taking space weather effects into any of their education?
I mean, if they were, it wasn't going out to mainstream, you know, levels, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't have access to it, most likely.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So our pole star, our North Pole. It is the pole star changes at any given time, and it is a precession orient to the axis of different points in the sky. So approximately 13,000 years ago, the northern end of the axis pointed in the opposite direction. So our North Pole could possibly end up in our southern hemisphere. This is something that they were documenting and what they had figured out back then due to the wobble, but they never said anything about a magnetic reversal. What they called it was a precession.
That's interesting.
Right? And what did they say here? It was very interesting what they had said. This slight wobble around the orientation of the axis called a precession makes one complete revolution in 26,000 years. One complete revolution. Therefore, this motion is not obvious in one single lifetime. But ancient Greeks knew about it, according to some records. So, I mean, what I'm trying to say here is even in 1975, when they were trying to learn about our planet, they knew nothing compared to what we know now, and we still know nothing compared to what we're going to learn, I think. And when we talk about the magnetic reversal, what leads me to believe in that is how quickly our North Pole is dramatically moving towards Siberia. It's literally moving 45 kilometers a year now. And I can't remember what it was before, but it's dramatically increased. And not only that, we've got our magnetic South Atlantic anomaly. So that kind of, in my mind, our North Pole and our South Pole are being pulled towards each other. So at any time you've got magnets trying to go towards each other, you know that they're going to bounce back, and we're going to have a massive effect. Now, something in regards to that effect, the North and South Pole maybe snapping back and flipping, may cause a reaction on the planet, an arc electric reaction, kind of like what suspicious observers showed on his video 3 days ago. And I myself, before I saw that video, saw what could happen for some reason. I could just envision it. And that's what I saw. And then all of a sudden he's showing it in a video, and it blew my mind. I'm like, that's what I was seeing in my mind. And I've never seen even a depiction of what I've been trying to think about. So it was very interesting indeed. And with the increased earthquakes all across the upper Pacific Northwest, through California, the continuing, you know, random swarms around geysers, it really makes me feel like, and makes me feel like our planet's under a lot of pressure right now.
And it would be causing the core of the Earth, like the magma plumes, to expand out and heat up, right?
Yes, and I think that when it's all magnetic, it's all connected from the core to the outer limits. And the observing skies that I have here in Calgary are crazy. I mean, I'm at 1,200 feet here above sea level. And we've had noctilucent clouds the last 3 days. Photographers are going crazy all over the city because they're amazing clouds. But literally, those are harmful cosmic rays turning into ice crystals and falling to our atmosphere. Now, before all this came in, and I knew, because right around high noon, this is when all of it comes in. You got the solar vortex right over top of you. Just before they sprayed, I'm telling you, like, I'm not saying they're spraying, but it looked like they were spraying. And literally, there were six lines across the sky, and then I videotaped it, and then they all mixed right under the sun. And the colors that I was filming and the reaction that was going on there, there's obviously something wrong with our atmosphere. If they're strategically injecting aerosols into our atmosphere to deflect cosmic rays.
Yeah, that's what Ben had been from Suspicious Observers on the show a few weeks ago, and that's what he was saying. You know, it's like a double-edged sword what they're doing. Yeah, they think they're trying to kind of save humanity by spraying these particles into our upper atmosphere, but at the same time, it's killing us, and it's toxic, and it's harming our atmosphere. So, you know, you can't win either way.
I really think it is. You know, apparently, the east coast of the United States, about three or four years ago, they were doing a huge operation injection operation all across the East Coast. And I have a friend in South Carolina. And before this, like, he even investigated it, because all of a sudden he started seeing, you know, chemtrails. He's like, oh, it's just a contrail. Well, no, contrails disappear. All of a sudden, when he started to investigate it more, he was starting to get sick, and he'd come in and he'd always be blowing his nose. He was coughing up all this stuff. So he stopped going outside and looking at him, and he hasn't been sick since. So, just saying.
Yeah, there's definitely something to it. And, you know, I wouldn't doubt that it's extremely harmful what they're putting in there. I want to go back to volcanoes.
The cosmic rays are, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's all connected to what we're about to talk about as well, with the volcanoes and the expansion of the magma plumes. But when it comes to the volcanoes, what do you think is the most concerning ones to you that could, you know, possibly pop off if things get even any worse?
I'm actually quite concerned about the upper northwest of the United States. Rainier, Hood, Shasta, Helen. I mean, I'm not just worried about one. I'm kind of worried about the whole thing going. If anybody who's watching right now and has been following along with Morning Dew Daily Events Worldwide, you know, every so often I'm giving out reports of explosions, random explosions in Washington. And normally on USGS, if it's an explosion, they'll say, oh, it was a quarry blast. They'll explain what kind of explosion it was. So there were all these explosion events that have been happening across Washington. And it just makes me believe that there's a lot of pressure being released in all of our fault lines across North America. And I think my biggest worry is this continuing Iceland volcano, honestly, because that is an insane amount of lava that is still emptying out over Iceland. Where's that big gap going to go? You know what I mean? That lava is leaving the core.
The last I was reporting on it was still kind of building pressure, and locals were getting concerned about it. But we still haven't had any kind of magma breakthrough to the top of the volcano, have we?
No, it's still in chambers underneath, and it's just finding its way. You know, eventually it's going to make it. It's trying to go to the ocean. It's trying to get to the lowest point, right? But it's the I've never seen so much lava come out of that thing. I've been documenting and watching it on my live stream, you know, on another TV. I've had it on live stream just going and going and going. It's crazy. So I really do feel that for every action, there's a reaction, right? You've got all that lava leaving. Something's got to give. Something's going to fall through underneath. The plume is going to change. The whole chamber in our core of the earth is going to change. And the dramatic changes, the Kilauea, the Krakatoa over the past 2 years, or 3 years, the Kilauea, Krakatoa, the Iceland volcano, that thing hasn't erupted in 600 to 800 years. You know, and all of these events are all of a sudden, they're in these cycles of 400 to 800 years and 12,000, 13,000, 26,000 years. It kind of adds up right now. And with the increased lightning in storms, the energy in storms, watching huge supercells be cut out by sheer winds, It really feels like we have a collapsed magnetosphere, and that our poles are drifting closer and closer towards each other on their way to the magnetic reversal. And now, I don't know if anybody has seen a commercial way back from probably the 90s, I think it was, but it's an interesting commercial and I'm going to share it one day. But literally it's a FEMA commercial. Interestingly enough, it's a FEMA commercial. And everybody's sitting at the table and they're eating, husband and wife and child, everything is perfect and sunny. And then all of a sudden they are floating and everything else is floating in their house. What if, what if a magnetic pole reversal actually creates a vacuum on our planet, takes away gravity for a while, and
that's an thought. Very interesting.
Changes everything dramatically across the planet in an instant. We don't know this.
Yeah, right? I know.
We don't know how long it took.
I've heard some terrifying things that could possibly happen if we were to experience one of these reversals. Winds that are fast enough to rip human flesh, waves that could cross over continents. I mean, there's very little chance of survival from that. But before we get too far away from volcanoes, I want to hit a couple of side notes on that. Did you see the meteor that impacted, I think it was the side of an Indonesian volcano?
Yeah, one of my favorite volcanoes, Merapi.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was very cool. And I don't know if it actually went into the volcano.
Well, I saw a couple of different angles on it, and it looked like it hit the side. Didn't it actually go in? Okay. Yeah.
Did it actually? But still. Like, I haven't seen any footage of like an impact event. I just saw it go.
Yeah, I saw it. It hit the side and was kind of like it spit up dust everywhere. I'm pretty sure it hit the side of the volcano, but it was really close to the entrance.
Oh, okay. So it did show debris.
Yeah.
I didn't see a video of debris. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. It was really cool.
Very interesting.
Yeah. If you go on YouTube, they have a couple of channels that showed like two or three angles of it. But I thought that was very interesting. Another thing that's interesting about, strange, unknown falling objects from the sky in volcanoes is when I was at the UFO conference in Laughlin, they had a new documentary from my friend Darcy Weir about UFO interaction with volcanoes and how much of it there is, you know, in Central America around these volcanoes, even around the volcanoes we have in the United States. There's documented unknown flying objects, either, you know, looks like they're monitoring these volcanoes. Some have been known to fly even into the crater and out. It's very interesting. What do you think's going on there? You think they're monitoring to see if there's going to be any action?
I think that's a possibility. I've definitely seen some credible evidence across the internet to say yeah. And I have seen some unidentified flying objects. They don't only monitor volcanoes. I think they monitor huge storms as well. And I've seen around supercells. I have some documented footage, but I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I know they manipulate the weather.
It's super interesting either way. I mean,
maybe they're manipulating volcanoes too.
Could be. And it could be they're manipulating it. It could be they're keeping us safe. Could be they're doing the opposite, making it more active. Who knows? But it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. It's just an interesting side note I wanted to mention.
Yeah, that is.
But when it comes to something that's, of course, related to the volcanoes is earthquakes. I know that when I was covering those, there was a major increase, especially since the early 1900s, like a couple of thousand percentile, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that has still been increasing in the past year or so.
Yep, and since we've talked last too, I've investigated Canadian earthquakes. So, yeah, I've got some information to share there as well. But, yeah, I mean, even over the past 4 years of documentation, I mean, there's a reason why I started my channel, because I saw these changes coming, and I wanted to share what I was researching every day. I was on the internet every day researching. Why? I'm trying to figure this out. Why are our weather patterns changing so much? Why are we having these rare earthquakes? You know, why are there tornadoes in these rare places? Why? I always want to know why. So put it this way, we've already seen 7.0 and greater earthquakes this year. 7. And throughout the whole year last year, we had 7.
Yeah. Well, you said you had been keeping an eye on Canadian earthquakes as well, which I haven't really heard much about ever, really.
Yeah. So there's a lot of earthquakes through Ontario, Quebec, BC, So they've really started to keep track of them. They do have a site, and I do look at them daily. We had a couple earthquakes here in the city. They were ghost earthquakes. They were on USGS. They were on Volcano Discovery, and then they disappeared in Calgary. And that's when I started investigating. I found out that we live in a thrust zone. So our downtown core is built on a riverside, the Elbow River. And then right on the other side of the Elbow River is a big mound. It's called Nose Hill. So you can see the thrust zone. And that Bow River is the fault line. So earthquakes. 250% increase, even on the Canadian statistics website. They're showing the graph, 250% increase in earthquakes just in the past decade. Just in the past decade.
That's insane.
Yeah. And if I was to actually give a percentage here, just off of what I've seen and documented, a rough estimate, I think across the US and across the USGS website that I've seen, we've probably seen at least a 50 to 80% increase just in the past year, like pretty much from last October. It's just been scaling up and up and up. And right now we're sitting at 13,000 earthquakes over the past 28 days. And that's the most that we've seen in a monthly period.
Now, I know that there were some scientists and researchers looking at the Cascadia subduction zone, kind of concerned about it. Has there been any movement or something to be looking at around that area?
Well, I have been extensively researching and looking at a certain area in Washington. I wish I had it up right here right now. Not prepared for that, but it's a place called the Bridge of the Gods. And if you look up the Bonneville landslide, you'll get the area of the Bridge of the Gods. I think that is the area. That's the area that I'm concerned about. So that is just east of Rainier, Hood, Helens, Shasta, the whole west side there. With this increased activity recently, I do believe that we could be on a verge of maybe a Rainier eruption. A lot of people ask me about Yellowstone, and I mean, I really don't think one of the largest dormant volcanoes is going to awaken anytime soon.
Well, I happen to agree, and I had been, I was talking about Ben some from Suspicious Observers earlier. He was saying that it kind of self-vents. It releases all the pressure that it's building up because it broke itself, essentially, whenever the last time it went off. So I would agree that we probably don't have to worry about anything in Yellowstone.
Mm-mm. No. And I mean, if you're going to worry about fissures, I think the only area we have to worry about fissures is California. And I'm not talking Southern California. I'm talking all of California. It's under a lot of pressure right now. All the geysers are going crazy.
Well, I remember the last earthquake swarm around a couple of years ago. We had that, 7-point-something in Southern California. And I haven't, there's nothing of note that's been, that's popped off in that area in the past year or two, right?
Yeah. Since then, there hasn't really been any big earthquakes in the region.
Yeah.
And
it looks
northward,
like it's building up pressure in that area. Has there been any, micro swarms or anything like that?
The only area that I've been really observing the micro swarms are through the Salton Sea. And that is another yet dormant volcano. And I observed satellite imagery of a possible, a sand eruption, almost venting in the lake and spewing sand out. So what had happened was a 3-day period, satellite imagery, NASA WorldView. I was looking at the Salton Sea, and the one day it, there was this big C-shaped two areas, and it looked like two areas had spit sand out to each other. And then the next day you could see that it spread and it spread and it spread across the Salton Sea. So I think that it's venting through the Salton Sea as well. But I think that all the pressure is moving northward towards, I think, you know, our new North Pole, because we have to think to ourselves, you know, where that North Pole is, everything's spinning around that North Pole. And when systems come around and we've got jet streams that normally go certain ways, we're going to have a lot of dramatic atmospheric changes. And I'm looking at it right now, the global precipitable water, you know, it used to be a thick line across the equator. And now it's this. And tropical storms are going to the North Pole. Tropical storms are going to the South Pole. In my years of documenting, I haven't seen them do that.
Now, I know I've noticed major changes in our weather patterns, and I'm pretty sure this is global. And I was talking with this with a couple of other researchers about the changes in our sun and how it's noticeable. You can see it with your own eye. The sun is not the same color that I remember it was growing up. I remember, you know, a nice warm yellow, orange towards the evening sun, and now it's like a white light bulb, like a, you know,
like a white hot.
Yes, white hot light bulb, and it does not look the same as the sun that I remember growing up. And this is one of the most noticeable changes besides the changes in our weather that I think we could point out, right?
Yeah. Oh, I can agree, and I can testify to, you know, how different it is as well. You know, you take, for instance, a black t-shirt like this, you know, cotton, 100% cotton, and you leave it out in the sun all day, it'll change to a gray. Like literally it's being eaten, and the color changes. Back in the 80s and the 90s, that wasn't a noticeable thing. When I tan now, and I'm a great tanner, and I never use suntan lotion, okay, and I tan in like 6 minutes now. That's not right. I used to tan in 20 minutes. You know, so I know something's definitely wrong with our sun, and we're being bombarded by cosmic rays. And definitely. You know what? At the same time, as all this is going on, I have this fire inside that is, it's all positive. Okay. I'm taking these cosmic energies and I'm taking them in. I'm eating them up and I'm getting big and I'm going. And that's what everybody needs to do. As much as, you know, yeah, the end of this road is, it's the end, just like everything, there's an end, you know, but while we're here, we got to make the best of it. We got to help each other, and we got to be here for each other, inspire each other, share our fire, share what makes us tick, share our experiences, share what we know, you know, and that's why I created my channel, because I really wanted to share my research and share my love for humanity. I do every day when I go down and I see the people on the streets, I see them everywhere, and I help, you know. Yesterday I met this guy, Mike. He's a good friend now. And that day I felt like literally I had an extra phone. I was like, one day I'm going to give this to somebody who really needs it. I'm not going to try to sell it. I'm like, I'm really just going to give it to somebody who needs it one day. And sure enough, I met this guy yesterday, Mike, and it literally changed his world by giving. And that's what we need to do. We need to start giving more. We need to start giving the knowledge, as you and I are doing, giving these shows, sharing what we know, sharing what we're concerned about, because this has everything to do with 8 billion people.
Yeah, and you're exactly right.
And we're already looking at only 48% of the 8 billion having fresh water access. You know, can we get the people fresh water? Can we get the people food? Can we, they all have shelter, please?
Well, if the shit really hits the fan, that's going to be the only way that anybody's going to survive, is if we have a community, if we are going to be helping each other out and
you know, yes.
caring about Agreed. Each other. And that's the only way that we'll ever get through this.
Agreed.
So you're right. You know, I think that we need to focus on things like that more, helping out and, you know, getting these main communities ready for things like this, because I talk about this on my show a lot. I talk about Earth Changes, but unfortunately, there aren't many other places that do. You know, of course, your channel does, Morning Dew, mm-hmm. and you do an excellent job. There are a couple
thank
others
you,
out there. You're welcome. Suspicious Observer is another one, but there's very few that are kind of warning people, hey, you should be doing a little prepping right now for the future, because our planet's it's a little shaky, and we don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, thanks for doing that. Now, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of strange things that I've come across when it comes to our sun. This is something I used to look at whenever I first started researching kind of conspiracy and strange topics, is Planet X. And I haven't covered it in a long time, and I don't necessarily research it that much anymore. If there's any articles or new researchers that come up, I'll take a look at their stuff. But there's been just so many, I guess, disinformation people out there, and so many lies about what could possibly be going on with this. And I don't think that if there is a Planet X or a rogue planet out there, I really don't think that this is going to be an immediate threat. And I think it may be just outside our solar system. And if it does come close, I don't think it's going to come close enough to where we would see a giant planet in our sky, or that it would, you know, affect us in any way. But I don't know. But one thing I have seen is, and this is from NASA's own satellite footage, is these strange orbs that seemingly can attach to the sun, and they just like look like these black orbs, and it appears that it's siphoning energy from the sun. And I've seen these videos from NASA through the years, and all of a sudden it looks like it just takes off. I'm wondering if you've seen these videos. I've shown them on my my page a while back, but the reason I'm bringing this up is I've seen it recently. Mr. MB33. Yeah, he's does a great job as well. He's shown this video, and I don't know what the hell this is. I've seen it numerous times. I don't know if it's like some kind of dead star that's siphoning energy from the sun, or some kind of biological something, or even a massive ship. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think?
Okay. I'm a straight shooter. I hope you know that about me, Chris, by now. Okay. I'm a straight shooter. What you guys are observing is a plasma filament. That rope, a plasma rope along the sun, creates that arc around it, creates that complete arc. If it's a rope, and it's basically like this is our sun surface. If it's a rope, it's turning like this and it's going across. On top of that rope, there's going to be a big energy ring. So unfortunately, when I watched Mr. MB's video that day, because a lot of people sent it to me, they're like, you watch the sun all the time. Is this true? Right. And I'm like, unfortunately, I have to say no right away. I'm saying no.
I wish I would have sent you the video when I seen it, because I've been wondering since then. What is
this? Yeah, and I think a lot of people have too. And I have a 24/7 live stream. I'm not up right now, unfortunately. It crashed, but normally I have a 24/7 live stream. A lot of people come into my stream, just ask me questions. They hear all this disinformation stuff and they come to me because they know I'm a straight shooter, and I'll either tell them I don't know, or I'll say what I think, you know? And right away people were, you know, asking me about this because I watch the sun all the time as well. Excuse me. I have observed those spheres before during my, you know, daily observations, and it's from a plasma rope.
Now, you see, unfortunately, people who want to take advantage of things like this, people not knowing what things like this are, will say, you know, they know, oh, this is a rogue planet, this is a spaceship, this is something else, and they will feed that into the public, and the video will go viral, and then it'll go all over the place, and this is how we have a brand new lie that's out there, basically this new conspiracy that's BS going around and people wholeheartedly believe it. And
wholeheartedly.
I can't stand when things like that happen. And thank you for being honest and you know, sharing what it makes sense. You know, this is the explanation, the only explanation I've heard that makes sense. And we need more people to, you know, be honest about things like this.
Right. And, it's not all about the views, man. It's about the humanity. It's about the people for me. If I was about the views, trust me, I'd be killing it. I'd be killing it. I'd be clickbaiting everybody. And you know, I'm not about that. I'm not about that. I'm about producing a show and presenting my information to everybody. And I hope everybody knows that, you know, with this, I feel your pain, brother. Trust me, with this disinformation out there, because they're blowing up, you know. But it's like it's like it's entertainment.
And that's why I had to stop the Planet X thing, because people were, you know, blowing up from it, profiting from it, making money from it, and I could just—it's obvious BS that they're spewing out there. It's like, no, this is not happening. So, you know, that's why I shied away from that whole thing. And I still am, until someone can present me something that's like compelling evidence that I can't turn away and I have to present to other people. I'm not going to cover that, because at this point, I don't see anything coming of it, you know?
Yeah. And myself as well. I know that, you know, 95% of the solar systems that the Kepler satellite found are binary. You know, so it's a common thing to have a binary system. Whether or not ours is, I cannot confirm nor deny. Right. I've seen a lot of anomalies, but I have not seen not one video or photo evidence that is convincing to me. Not one. I know as a video editor what can be done.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are just out there to get notoriety and get these views and get that money, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for people who are really trying to get real information out there.
It is. I agree.
I want to get back to these changes that we're seeing, and then the solar minimum and what's going on right now. How long do you think this cycle, this basically cataclysmic cycle, is going to last? And how long before you think we're going to see something that people are going to start getting afraid of, you know?
I think I may have touched base on this with you the last time we talked. Agenda 2030, Agenda 21.
Right.
You know, they want every country in line by 2030 to be doing and following these 17 steps to sustainable living. They want us pre-programmed. They want us doing this, doing that by this time. So I think by 2030, we're going to dramatically see things scale up. And I think it'll probably last 25 years. I'm thinking, I think at least two solar cycles.
Now, what do you think about the magnetic reversal? I've heard I have different thoughts on this one, that you know, we could see a reversal within 5 years, and that would basically set us back to like Stone Age. We wouldn't have power. We wouldn't have any technology anymore. Do we know that happening?
Well,
we don't.
Know that?
You're right. We don't know that from certain sources. According to certain sources, we wouldn't. But
the reversal.
We haven't lived through one, so you're right. We don't know.
But you know, as I just talked about earlier, with the reaction from the action of the North and South Pole bouncing, I guess that would create enough of a static electric atmosphere, probably wouldn't be survival. That's true, actually.
I'm thinking, technology, you know, any kind of electronics or anything would probably be out of commission, you know, not necessarily forever, but it would take a while to get infrastructure back up, and that would cause a lot of problems for humanity.
This is true.
In the meantime,
this is true.
So I think that's one of the things that we would have to worry about.
What if that reversal is coming by 2030, and that's why they want everybody in line by 2030.
See, this is what I've heard. This is the big conspiracy, according to certain sources, that the whole reason we're seeing all these agendas at play and the rush in kind of getting everybody towards this Agenda 2030 lifestyle with, you know, all these V-word passports and all the other nonsense going on, that it's because they know that we're headed towards a major cataclysm. They want to get ahead of it. They want to get ultimate control before it. And that's, you know, hence COVID.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I said it from the beginning. It's called the coronavirus. Our sun is the corona. It's the virus of the sun. It's the virus of the sun.
Yeah, it's very interesting when you put everything together. It's kind of you can't deny some of the connections that are being made from very good researchers when it comes to basically these genocidal maniacs and what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's a bag and tag event. You know, they want to be able to have control when the event comes. They want to be able to control the people because they know that beforehand, you know, we're going to have a food crisis. We're going to see inflation rates just keep going up and up and up. I mean, I think the only savior right now is cryptocurrency and alternative methods of exchange. You know, we need to change what we're doing right now. It's obviously not freaking working. There's still so many people suffering. There's still so many people who don't have an opportunity to get educated. You know, and education is a little bit suspicious on its own. But
right.
You know, there's still people, villages, if not countries, that don't have, you know, the proper education, proper housing. You know, and that's what I'm concerned about the most is there's going to be so many people suffering during this time because they don't know. They're not going to be ready. They may be actually, you know, maybe when the event happens, all those who are tagged will be saved and all those who are bagged will already be, well, just don't even have to worry about them, right?
Right.
But hopefully the people who are bagged are actually, you know, buying some land and gathering their family members. And hopefully we can survive an event if that's what it is. But heaven forbid a life ending, a world ending event. But then it makes me think, why do all of our rich mongrels want to get off the planet so bad? Why do they want to go to Mars so bad? By 2026, they want to be on Mars.
Yeah, I mean, that's another kind of red flag there. And if you think if it's not necessarily a all of a sudden global cataclysm, I've heard also that we should worry about a mini ice age in the near future. Yeah, such dramatic changes. You mentioned the crop loss to where not only we lose all our crops, but we have extreme temperature changes and changes in our weather patterns that could trigger a mini ice age.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is unfolding before my eyes. Before my eyes. I think we're on the verge of the mini ice age, which quite possibly could bring on the magnetic reversal or vice versa. They're probably in play together. A low pressure system from Russia traveled across Greenland and into the Hudson Bay. They don't do that. They don't do that. Now we're going to have below freezing temperatures, middle of June in Manitoba, Canada. That's unheard of. Unheard of. We should be going through a Great Plains drought, should be hot, you know, but we've only got tropical heat So we're getting, why are we getting tropical moisture here in Alberta when we're supposed to just get some Pacific moisture? Because our old jet stream used to go straight across the Rocky Mountains, right across North America, and then do a wave across, right? But now our jet stream goes to BC and it goes up. And then it goes over the over Alaska, and then it creeps down over the Hudson Bay. So what leads me to believe that we are on the verge of this solar minimum, collapsed magnetosphere. The systems have been squished, so therefore they're gaining velocity. They're also denser, so they're lower and not able to penetrate a mountain, not able to penetrate the Rocky Mountains. Like a low pressure system that's so big that it's not able to cross a Rocky Mountain range. And that's what we're looking at right now. Low pressure system right off the Pacific Ocean has been spinning there for 6 days. And normally a system would just go right over the mountains. So that's what leads me to believe we do have a collapsed magnetosphere. So something is pushing these systems onto our surface, closer to our surface. And that in itself creates atmospheric compression events where, you know, almost weather bombs create a vacuum of, you know, moisture from one area and then just raining it down. We've broken more cold records across Canada than warm records. They don't talk about that. They never talk about the last mini ice age. The last mini ice age brought on the Spanish flu. The last pandemic. So our last mini ice age brought on the last pandemic, and now we're going through another pandemic, and we've got cold records being broken across the Northern Hemisphere.
Well, all these cataclysms that have happened throughout history, they're cyclical. Everything that's happened is going to repeat itself. I've talked about this with Randall Carlson. You know, the 13,000, 12,000 year cycle where we see, you know, a major cataclysm, an extinction level event possibly, we could be very well approaching this. And unfortunately, I don't think enough people are going to realize it until it's too late. You know, I try to mention solutions for people, but I don't think everyone's going to be able to, first of all, afford to, you know, just pack up and get a piece of land and be self-sufficient. And secondly, not enough people are going to know what's going on until they're freezing to death, or they don't have crops, or there's no food, or there's no power. You know, we're going through this major cataclysm, and we're right in it. So there's a few problems with, you know, trying to offer people solutions and that are actually viable solutions that people could actually get up and do. But if you, I think if you start small and you start with yourself, and mainly just be as positive as you can about things, I think that collectively it could have an effect on the turnout of reality, actually.
I agree.
That collectively, if we come together and you could even, I believe that we could collectively manifest a different outcome to a future. But that's just me, you know.
No, I agree. I agree. I agree with you, Chris. I'm glad we think alike. And this is what I do every day. And a lot of people thank me for it. You know, they thank me because of that, because it's an energy that they can literally resonate across the city. It can resonate across the world, you know, and my positivity, my love for humanity does resonate across the world. And I think that's why a lot of people are joining the Do Crew. They're joining the community and hopping in the live stream, you know, enjoying a nice chat, talking about science, and loving our planet. You know, as soon as anybody comes in saying the world is over, or the end is near, I say no fear here. And that's my first warning. Literally, if they brought up another one, I'm silencing them. You know, I manifest good vibes. I have gotten here because of it. It's a fire inside. Share it. Share it. That's all I could say. Share the fire inside. And that's almost what you need to like for those who are really struggling, well, what is the fire inside? What makes you tick? What makes you spark? You know, what do you love? Find out what you love and run with it. So it's amazing what love can do.
Hey, you're it's absolutely amazing. Right. I mean, I've experienced the same thing in my life. So you're 100% correct. Spread that positivity. And you were mentioning your channel and what you do. Let everybody know where they can find your work. I know your morning do on YouTube. You have a chat now. Is there anything else you got going, like social media or anything else?
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I'm doing TikTok as well. I got a fun channel over there. I got just over 2,000 followers there. I'd love to, you know, have the same amount of followers everywhere, but TikTok's really fun, you know, and I do daily 30-second videos of the sun with some cool music and as well my life events throughout the city. So as well, Morning Dew Daily Events Worldwide. You can type in Daily Events Worldwide. You'll find my website and you will find the YouTube channel. I do have the website as well. I haven't updated the website for a while. It's been really, really busy, so have not updated any stories in there. But Daily Events Worldwide on Facebook as well. And my name is Mike Milks, the Milkman, aka Morning Dew. So look me up on Facebook, link up anytime, and let's share the love and the information that needs to be spread everywhere, you know.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely check out his channel. The only one you'll find with a 24-hour live stream of events going on. It's awesome. You can pop in there anytime and see what's going on. Mike, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was fantastic information. More people need to spread this information and positivity. And thank you so much for doing
it. I agree. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on, Chris. It's always a pleasure.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely have you back on in the future to get some updates.
It sounds good.
Until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We'll see you soon.
Stay aware and prepared.